Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
David Coleman, good morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
You're a busy man. How was the weekend? Did you enjoy the sunshine in Killaloe? Did it reach the whole country, by the
stunning.
Way?
Stunning. Yeah, it was stunning all weekend. It was really, really nice.
Lovely. And was it warm?
No, chill wind.
Chill, yeah, it was chill wind. Yeah, by the coast.
Chill wind, because I was out, I was doing safety boat duty for sailors on Sunday, and thankfully I brought extra layers because it was freezing.
You'd need it, wouldn't you?
You would. Even though the sun was there, it was glorious, but and out in the lake, sure, you can't complain anyway.
Oh, I'd love to be out in the lake. I'd love to get out for...
Should come down.
Bit of fishing.
Get you down to the Lakeside Hotel.
Yeah, in Killaloe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind actually a night in Killaloe. It's a nice part of the world. I've been there before.
Have you ever sailed?
No, I haven't.
Oh, come on. I'll take you out in my dinghy.
Would I have to do anything?
No, you'd have to wear a wetsuit if they can get one.
Would there be a gin or something? There must be something.
Oh, there's a little something after.
Yeah. Oh, after. It's mindly after.
He's not going to want you drunk in a dinghy. Oh my God.
Is it a dinghy or what is it?
No, a dinghy is a small two-person boat. That's
they look nice. I've seen them out in the sea.
They're great fun. Yeah, loads of them in Dunleary.
Yeah. I was walking past in the sun listening to Elvis. Elvis singing gospel. Did you ever hear Elvis Presley singing gospel music?
Now, of course, if you'd bumped into Elvis now, that would have been truly shocking. Like that woman who's listening to your podcast bumped into you.
If I was listening to Elvis.
That must have been so bizarre for her, though. Really, to be listening.
It was bizarre. I know. And then, because I'm literally going up the narrow stairs, I said, excuse me. And she just went, and took the headphones off. This is, I'm listening to you. At which point I was thinking, well, that's bizarre for me to think that you would even be doing that. But I was delighted that somebody was listening somewhere.
It's always good to know that people are listening.
Now, actually, I'll give you a laugh. The teenager said to me, one of her friends sent a comment around saying, do you think that there's, no, I can't say it. Sorry, it's completely inappropriate. I forgot where we were. Now, David Coleman, lots of good comments coming in.
You can tell me in the boat.
I will definitely tell you in the boat. We have lots of different things coming in on different subjects. Obviously, people have things. Do you believe in the terrible twos? Do you think that's a thing, by the way? Somebody texted in about that.
Oh, yeah. No, it is a real thing, because what two-year-olds are trying to do is it's the start of what they call individuation, which is where your two-year-old is beginning to realise that they're actually a separate being from you as a parent.
Right.
So before that, they actually believe that you and they are just one, kind of
symbiotic
undefinable
creature.
Being. Yeah.
That's so funny.
And suddenly they realize that they're different, which is why they can kind of go, oh, I can say no.
Okay.
I can assert myself.
Right.
I can be my own self and I can be different to you and I can have a different view. So no, there is definitely a thing to the terrible twos.
Is there any getting around it? I mean, the way you hear families with kids and they'll say, well, my first one was a bloody nightmare, but the second one just seemed to drift.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, you see, the first one, where were we? Only just outside talking to the lads. We were talking about, the anxiety that parents have, which is why I think many eldest children, it seems like a nightmare because you just don't know what to expect. Whereas by the time two and three come along, generally, you have much more of a handle on it
it
becomes less stressful. It's less of an issue in that regard. But there is stuff. You see, the big thing, I'm not a fan of, the whole putting kids out in the step, all that kind of malarkey. Not for toddlers. They don't need it. What they do need is very clear direction. You've got to tell them what to do and then you've got to gently guide them in that direction. Make it so that they actually can't avoid doing what you want them to do, as opposed to asking them to do something and then getting cross with them because they didn't do it and putting them out in the step because they didn't do it. So you just got to be a lot more direct, a lot more involved. And unfortunately with 2 years, you've just got to be around. You've got to be watching them all the time.
Yeah.
Because they're just too busy. You know?
Quite frustrating though. No.
Oh yeah.
No,
yeah,
and you're going, please, look, oh no, we're in a hurry and I got to get this and you got to get out of the car. And
I'll
I don't
be honest,
get out.
Yeah, the whole toddler thing,
it
was not my most successful period of parenting.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
And coming from you, that's great.
Yeah, no, I was so glad when it was all over and they'd moved on into national school and then beyond. And now I find it's great.
Yeah.
Although we were out yesterday evening with all of our good friends that we've been friends with for a long time. And so all the eldest are now in around 15, 16, 17. And we were saying, and they were all, it was a younger child's birthday, the big bouncy castle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the older group were bouncing on the bouncy castle, rugby play. It was quite violent, but it was good fun nonetheless. And we thought, God, how many more years would they be interested in? Or they'll just be gone. And they'll be off and they'll be in somebody's house and they'll be,
doing
drinking and doing the things and all the things.
Yeah, I find that definitely as heading into the mid to late teens, they're trickling through your fingers now. You know, you're thinking, wow, gosh, that was quick. As they say, but look, we're sounding like two out of fellas now in the hedge.
That's it.
So let's keep going to this text. We have three boys at home, 8, 4 and nearly 2. The biggest problem is with them is that they don't share. When the 4-year-old touches something belonging to the 8-year-old, the 8-year-old grabs it And then the same if the 2-year-old touches anything belonging to the 4-year-old, and it's driving me mad. Also, the oldest won't get on with the 4-year-old at all. He says mean things to him. He might shove him. We also had a little boy who was stillborn 6 years ago, and I'm not sure if the older one is harbouring feelings about him. We talk about him all the time, so he's part of the family. Maybe these are all normal things that they have to deal with. They have all been in creche, so they do understand about sharing and had no problem sharing with others in that situation. I work 3 days a week outside the home, and I do feel guilty about having to do housework, etc., on the other 2 weekdays. Any advice would be appreciated.
Yeah, you know, that whole, I know you've been talking a lot about jealousy on the programme, but yes. But sibling rivalry is alive and well in almost every home, as far as I'd be concerned. And I think, you know, if you look at the age gap as well, so you've got the 2-year-old and the 4-year-old, and then you've got a big 4-year gap to the older lad. And I can imagine that he really was quite resentful of having younger siblings. I mean, he had 4 good years all on his own, with nobody, you know, drawing from that attention and so on. And I think he probably has found it hard. I'd say he's just been struggling to adapt for the last 4 years and maybe not feeling like he's getting a lot of support in that. But with the 2 younger, I mean, the 2-year-old, you know, again, 2-year-olds don't play cooperatively. They do. They're quite happy to play independently beside another 2-year-old, but they don't, you know, they don't get into the whole kind of, you know, we'll take turns and, you know, I'll roll the ball to you, you roll it back to me. So yeah. They do need an awful lot of guidance about sharing. And I think when it comes to it, again, you know, with small children, as they still are, it is all about having adults present to guide and direct and actually make sure that games don't become unfair, that one person isn't left out, that, you know, everybody gets their turn, because the children themselves, it's too much to expect them to be able to manage that. They're not just sort of the responsibility or the interest yeah. to do that, because they're still essentially quite self-centered at that age. So it is a very natural, normal sounding family environment, absolutely. And it is just about parents being there, not getting too fussed, not getting too hung up on it, and just keeping them busy with it.
We've got a call from, is this Mary who I spoke to before? Mary, good morning to you.
Morning, Ryan.
It's nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's been about 2 years, I think.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
We spoke before. David's with us, by the way. Bring David into the conversation.
Hi, David.
Mary, hi. How are you doing?
Could you remind us, you had a very tough time with your son, isn't that right?
That's right. He's nearly 14 now at this stage. We've always had problems with him, with his behaviour and with outbursts. And
he was very physical and angry and aggressive. And was he actually violent with you?
Oh, he was, yeah, all the time.
In what way?
Numerous injuries, a damaged jaw, black eyes, split lips, bruises, it's destruction of property in the house. He's gone after my younger son as well, and my husband, who's disabled, causing serious damage.
And that was 2 years ago when he was 12.
That was 2 years ago,
now,
yeah.
Normally when something like this happens, not normally, but oftentimes when something like this happens, I then speak to somebody like you 2 years later, and you've got this wonderful progress report about how he went into counselling or care. Somebody looked after him or saw, isolated the problem, dealt with them. 2 years later, what have you got for me?
Well, I have the opposite problem now.
He's
not involved in any counselling. He was discharged on the basis that he was unique and complex. They've never come across a child like him. They couldn't diagnose him because they think that he's a little bit of everything. And their solution was to give him a break from counselling and to see how he went on from there.
How has he been of late?
Oh, it's horrible. It's been a nightmare in this house. The recent attack was on Good Friday.
Yeah.
He had me by the throat. He was choking me, and he thumped me at the side of the head. He nearly knocked me out. I was dizzy and vomiting, and I called the guards.
So you're saying so many things that are so difficult, I suppose, to comprehend for people who aren't in them, but if we could just... What triggered the Good Friday attack, for example, just to try and get into the mindset of your son?
Well, it was just... Okay, it was building. You could see it's been building on for the last couple of weeks. The aggression was constantly there. Anything could trigger him. So we were walking on eggshells. But my younger son, who's 11, he was watching a DVD, and the eldest fella came down, and he wanted to show him something on YouTube. And the younger fella said, no, I'm in the middle of watching something. So he attacked my younger son, hitting him on the head. So I heard the screaming and shouting, and I came in, and the other fella ran upstairs. I told him he couldn't be hitting his son, and he came out and he called me horrible, horrible names. I won't repeat them. And he said, "What are you going to do about it?" And I walked down the stairs again, and he came down the stairs like a bull, jumped off the bottom step, grabbed me by the throat and up against the door, and he was just going to hit someone. And no matter what you did or said, he was just going to do it. Now, when the guards arrived, he locked himself upstairs in the bathroom. And he didn't want to speak to them. In the last couple of days, we've had guards over at the house just checking up on us, because after that incident, every single day he was threatening to kill me. He told me that I deserved to die. Sorry.
Oh, no, you have every reason to be upset. I mean, that's just intense. He's not getting any smaller.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, we spoke 2 years ago, he was a boy. He's now essentially a man.
He is, yeah.
Is he a big lad?
He's like a rugby player.
Oh, God, okay.
He's taller than I am, okay. And he's very, very strong.
And it sounds like you're living in a tyranny. You know, it does sound like it's like those abusive relationships, you know, where somebody's either drunk or just violent. And, you know, you normally hear it about, you know, men who are abusive towards women, or occasionally women abusive towards men. But sons to mothers isn't that common.
No.
And it seems to be exceptionally violent and cruel.
Yeah.
David.
Mary, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, David.
Well, obviously I've been hearing how you're doing. What strikes me, I'm just amazed that, the services turned around to you and said he's a unique and complex individual, and so therefore we're not going to offer him or you a service. Because if anybody needs a service, it's you and your family and even your son directly. But, you know, my concern is that as long as you are now outside the system, you're just not going to be offered the help. And what I'd suggest you do, I mean, I don't know what has happened for you since you called the guards, and whether the guards have been able to take any action against your son, or what have they said about that?
They want me to press charges.
Okay, and what's your thinking about that?
I'm thinking of it, because the guards have been called to the house several times and nothing has changed. They've sent reports into the social work department. The social workers won't take our case on because they don't think he's extreme enough. He doesn't meet the criteria. So the guards suggested I press charges. It's down legally. It's the only way that we're going to access the help that we need.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You know, Mary, I don't often say this, but I actually think the guards are going to be following the right track. I think I also think you need to press charges against your son, shocking and horrible though that may sound,
yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, I'm just amazed that the services are washing their hands of you, that the therapeutic services are washing their hands of you, because it is just awful, the situation you're in. And there is no, with no disrespect to you, and I know your husband has a disability and stuff, but there's no way that you're going to be able to drag yourselves out of this situation without help. You have to have help, and so does your son.
Yeah.
And I think you do. I also think you need to press those charges and try and get him into the system.
Yeah.
In such a way. Now, he's not going to like it. He may hold it against you, but to be honest, if he's at a stage where he thinks A, he can threaten to kill you, and B, that he actually attacks you physically and chokes you and holds you and hits you, you know, that's not going to stop.
Yeah.
He's not going to, and it's not going to make his view of you any less respected or respectful, and you're not going to be in any greater danger if you press charges, because something dramatic needs to happen to protect you, never mind the rest of your family. But you're in real danger, and I know he's only 14 and it seems awful, but I actually think you need to press those charges and try and get him back into a system, even if it's the criminal justice system to start. At least then they may be able to divert him from that into other therapeutic services.
Well, I have the backup of the school at the moment. He started secondary school. Two of the two female teachers at school have felt threatened by him. And there's a couple of pregnant teachers there as well. The principal is very concerned.
But that's, you know, you've already contacted the guards. The guards are already aware, you know, you're in a position where you actually have had an assault that is, you know, worthy of pressing charges, and the guards are advising you to do it, and I would follow their advice,
yeah.
Mary.
I presume, or I suspect, that there's a part of you that goes, you know, I am a mother. I can't prosecute my son. And yet there's another part of you that says, I have other children and I have a husband and I have teachers and responsibilities. And this, you're in the last chance saloon, really, aren't you?
I've had a couple of sleepless nights where I'm crying, and I just have come to the conclusion I have to be cruel to be kind.
Yeah, that's it.
And if it's the only way, that's the only route I can go down, then I'm just going to have to do it. Yeah.
Who do you have? Do you take advice from? Do you have a friend or a relation that you can call?
Yeah, I have a very good friend. Yeah. I talk to her every single day.
Every day, good.
She sees it. She's known him. Yeah. He was too. And
you need someone like that just to be able to get it off your chest at least. And then, but you know what? No one should be in a house that involves having their throat up against a wall and boxed in the head. I don't care by whom. It just should not be happening.
We're sleeping with the doors locked, and we have hidden all the knives and scissors. I know that seems a bit extreme.
No, it doesn't really, given what you've said, actually. No, it doesn't.
It sounds just wise, Mary. Wise.
Will you pursue that action and let us know how you do? Because, 13 years ago, he was a one-year-old child that you adored.
Yeah.
Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I love him very much.
Of course you do. He's your boy. And he was a baby. And, whatever happened, psychologically or emotionally, there was a wrong bend on the road and he went up the bloody wrong bend. And maybe he's for rescuing. I can't believe that he's going to be bad forever. And that's David's advice is rock solid. You now have, he's an expert. So listen to the experts, listen to the guards. It's going to be difficult, but you're a good mother, you're a good woman, you're a good person. So take it. And within 2 years, here's to talking to you in 2 years' time where you're saying he's 16 and we're the best of friends.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right.
Thank you.
Mary, the very best of
luck. Yeah, be strong. It's not easy.
No.
Okay, but there's not a sinner listening today who's not thinking about you and wishing you well and putting wind in your sails. So keep going.
I will.
All right.
Thank you.
And we'll keep an eye on you off air as well as on.
Thank you.
All right. See you soon.
Take care. Bye
for now. That's a tricky one, isn't it? Say the least.
Awesome.
To say the least. Okay. Well, look, she's very good to keep in touch with us, and we'll watch that story closely. Now, before we say goodbye, it's 9:09. We have to move on a little bit. I'm off to ISPCC today to say hello to our friends there.
Unfortunately, I was.
You were meant
to
be there,
and I can't go. Yeah, but actually, I'm going. Yeah,
because you'll do another day.
I will. Oh, absolutely.
You live to see another
day. In a couple of weeks, I'll be out to the ISPCC. Yeah.
Well, excellent work. Now, our Super Value competition. We'll get to that in a second. I know you're working with them as well.
I know. I'm intrigued. I was listening to. I didn't realize that they were going to. Running a competition, because actually we've done what we're calling a Home Truths survey with them. So we've actually gone and asked the people of Ireland, what are they doing and what's happening in terms
dinner
of
dinner time.
Yeah, dinner times and just generally about food because, we Irish, we've had a great relationship with food over the years, but I suppose the bit that really interests me is all about the family meal times. And sure enough, would you believe over half of Irish people are getting 5+ family meals a week, which I think is amazing because, we hear certainly in
that is a lot.
It is for the hectic lives that we lead, and you hear so many people saying, oh, we just can't sit down. And, people do complain that, there are things that get in the way of the family meals, but they still, they all believe that it's the number one thing that keeps families together.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. And so it's just really intriguing then, so Super Value, obviously, they're keen to follow that up as well,
Which is what we're doing with our competition. Yeah. We'll be bringing the show to somebody's, hopefully, kitchen table and keeping the conversation going.
But which is what it's all about. That's the big thing that people, it's that ability to communicate. That's certainly what I love about family meal times. They're much more about social
phones off, lads. Phones off.
Technology. If we could just get rid of technology. If we could all do a week of technology free, obviously you wouldn't be able to produce your radio show with no technology.
Well, not technology, but it's the phone, iPad-y thing. Yeah. It's out of control. But that's fine. That's for another day. David, thanks for coming in. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
See you in a couple
of
weeks.
I have no doubt.